what's conveyed in many people. So most people say, I don't have visions. We think people who have visions are that way. Not so. Many of the people who experience visions are quite ordinary looking people. You might have even just met them on your way to the supermarket this morning where you buy your loaf of bread. It could have been the person in front of you, behind you. Who knows? It was a checkout counter girl. Quite ordinary people, but visions doesn't cover. Like in this particular verse, it doesn't just cover an experience of the spiritual realm where there are different, in our teaching of vision, there are different types of spiritual visions. Where you're in a trance or you get into a spirit realm. It's broader than that. So the most important part of the vision is what I classify to be a mission. Every one of us was born given a mission. We have a mission to fulfill. Whether you receive that mission as an inner desire, all your life you wanted to be something. God put it inside you. Like from the time Neil Armstrong was small, he has always looked up at the sky and he wants to be an astronaut. So something throughout all his life is drawing him to airplanes, space, sky, anything in that direction, he's happy. There is a mission that God has assigned each one of us to fulfill. Whether we are called to the full-time ministry or to the professional world, we all have a mission. When we are born onto this earth, it doesn't mean that those who are full-time, in my mind, I don't divide between clergy and laity. Because in the Bible, the only place you find it is in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Paul worked, and some of those who worked were men and women of God who were renowned. Abraham was a herdsman. Daniel was a prime minister. Joseph was a prime minister. David was a secular king. These are the men and women of God. We divide between clergy and laity so much that we forget that every one of us have a mission, a purpose that God has for our life. And all we need to do is discover what a mission is. You will not discover it overnight. It may take time before God reveals it to us. We may not have all of our mission given to us in one go. And your mission, if you will take it, will self-destruct 2 minutes after you accept it. All of us have a mission, but it's divided into several categories. So that's why I put in the three categories. The first is more or less like a general mission that covers your entire life. A general sense of direction. Because without that, we will not move forward. The only way to move forward is to have a mission. Before you get into the car, you have to have some idea where you're going. Unless you're one of those who get in the car and really don't know where you're going. And you're just driving around. I think there are fewer and fewer of those people in these days of high fuel price. Where they just drive around because they want to drive around. Before you get into your car, you have an objective. Where to go from point A to point B. In between, you may have several A1, A2, A3, A4. But you do know where you're going. A mission is like that. We have a life. We have a destiny. We need to know in this life what is our general direction what our gifts are, etc. Now let's have a look at Paul, who happened to have a call to the ministry in the book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And I'm just looking at his timing here. Acts 26, these are the words of Paul. In verse 19, he says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." What was his vision that he had? He says he met Jesus on the road to Damascus in verse 15. And Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Rise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith." And Paul says in verse 19, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Now at this time, he was probably close to about AD 64. And the vision he referred to was in Acts chapter 9, which was about AD 35. You do your maths, that's about 30 years ago. Although in our Bible, Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 26 is only a mere 17 chapters, in Paul's life, 30 years have passed. Acts chapter 9 took place about AD 35. A couple of years after Jesus, just shortly after Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead. That's about 30 years ago. And for all the 30 years of his life, Paul said, "I never forgot the heavenly vision." You see, it was not for him just a vision. It was a heavenly vision. I call it a mission because a mission implies someone has sent you. God, who gave us life, has sent all of us with a mission. It implies that it's Almighty God who created us, who gave us life. And He gave all the coincidences in our life to train us. Do you know that there were circumstances that Paul didn't control, that others were controlling, that somehow was pushing him towards that mission? Because everyone is born with a mission. When he was just a little baby, his mother must have dedicated him to the service of the Jewish rabbiship. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, "While I was in my mother's womb, God called me." You remember that in Galatians 2. I believe it implied that his mother dedicated him to serve God in the way that she knew. She was a Jewish woman. So the only way serving God is to be a rabbi. And Paul was actually trained to be a rabbi. Who arranged that? It was God, because God has a mission for him. You notice that Paul, in the book of Acts, tells this mob of people that were coming against him. And let's look at Acts chapter 22, he says in verse 3, Acts 22 verse 3, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. You don't know who Gamaliel is, but in the Bible and among the Jewish people of his time, Gamaliel was like the Jewish scholar of all the scholars. Like Albert Einstein to the science community, like Plato and Aristotle to Greek philosophers, Gamaliel was to the Jewish scholar. Who made that arrangement? God and his angels. Because Paul had a mission to be a teacher of the word. So from very young, God made all those coincidences in his life and make sure he had the opportunity of the best teachers of his time. Who else better? If you were born in those days and you want to be a rabbi, who else better than Gamaliel? He was the top Jewish scholar of his time. That's why Paul mentioned his name. Because his name brings a sort of respect to all the Jews. You remember at one time earlier in the book of Acts, everyone wanted to persecute the Christians? Remember, the whole council wanted to do something. Gamaliel, just by the power of his own person, stopped them. Just by his words, because they respected him. And God arranged that. So some of you may say, well, I'm not like Paul. I'm not called to that area. Let's look at another person. This person is Joseph, and he had a more secular call. He didn't know it yet, but God had chosen him to be the one to bring all of Abraham's descendants into Egypt. When he was a young little boy, young little lad, in the book of Genesis chapter 37, Genesis 37 in verse 2, 17 years old. This is a history in Genesis 37 verse 2. This is a history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. And in verse 9, the first dream in verse 5. Joseph had a dream. Now, he didn't have a vision in the dictionary meaning of the word vision. He was not in a trance. He just had a dream. In the dream, God revealed his mission in life. And this was his dream. Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers, and he described the dream. Verse 6 and 7. Please hear this dream which I have dreamt. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Because that made his brother angry. Verse 9. Then he dreamt still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamt another dream. This time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. And verse 10, even his father rebuked him and saying, what kind of dream is this? You think we will bow down to you? You know what the dream was trying to say? The dream was his mission. It was before. Remember, all these things are before you and I were born. You have no control over the mission. We actually, it's not like Mission Impossible where you're given a choice. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, you were born made for the vision or the mission of your life. If you were called to worship, God would have put the ability